Ramsey TV.
Hey everybody, Martin Zender here. I'm looking forward to seeing you all on Friday evening, 6 p.m. for the meet and greet in Phoenix, Arizona. Go to my website, martinzender.com. You'll see on the top of the page a link for information about the conference, where the hotel is, the name of the hotel. I can't think of it right now, but go to the hotel at 6 p.m. on Friday night. Ask them where the room is. I don't know where it is yet. I'm going to be staying at the hotel. So if you're going to be staying at the hotel too, then we'll be able to hang out together. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. This is MZ TV. Welcome to another show. Rodney and I put out another video yesterday. It's the Armor of God Part 2. Recorded two talks in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada in spring of 1997 on my Marantz tape recorder that I got from Lewis Abbott in the fall of 93. What a day that was. I met Phil Scranton. We picked up Dean Huff. Phil Scranton and I drove to St. Louis Airport, picked up Dean Huff, and we went to see Lewis Abbott, who was dying of cancer. And Gary Amaralt was also there that day. It was the first day I met Gary Amaralt. He was making a film about Lewis Abbott. If I can find that link, I'll send it to you. This was the fall of 94. Lewis Abbott was dying of stomach cancer. Gary Amaralt wanted to make a film of his life, and Gary was there making a film. In the meantime, Lewis Abbott was wanting to give away all his books, and he had an amazing library in a Quonset hut in Stover, Missouri. Lewis Abbott, Stover, Missouri. He's got this Quonset hut he did all his study in, and he's got books like you would not believe. I mean, Gary was like drooling over it. Tent maker, you know Gary Amaralt. He's drooling over these books. And Lewis had a Marantz tape recorder there. And I told him, boy, I wouldn't mind having that. Maybe I could make some shows. And I got the Marantz tape deck, and I made shows on that for 10 years. And all the shows you're watching from Rodney Paris from 94 to 2002 were recorded on that Marantz tape deck. Lewis Abbott died a few weeks later. What a man of God. I appreciate him. So there's a link to the Armor of God video. Very important topic. I don't want you to fight Satan on his ground. This is going to be real revelation to you about the armor of God. Part one was last week. Part two was yesterday. So watch that. Somebody made an Instagram page for me. I'm not ready to launch it yet. I'm going to put a bunch of short, less than 1 minute videos on there. And so anything to get the truth out to new people. So I made a promotional video today for my new Instagram page. I don't even know how to get there. I don't know anything about Instagram. Somebody else is doing this for me. But I did make the intro video, and here it is. Hello everybody, my name is Martin Zender. I am an author, I'm a public speaker, I'm a radio personality, and I'm an all-around nice guy. 40 years ago, I became disenchanted with organized religion. I found that organized religion put God in a box, but I learned that God is much bigger and much better than anything anybody in organized religion told me. I write books about it. I wrote a book called, for instance, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Flawed by Design. That's right. You're the way you are because God made you that way. Yeah, just like Lady Gaga said, I was born this way. And God accepts you the way that you are. And there are so many great things that we didn't learn when we were in organized religion. Because again, they put God in a box. I can't stand the box. I'm all about wandering free. You are more apt to find God outside the organizations than in it. In fact, in it, you'll only find a caricature of God. You'll find a cartoon God, a cartoon Christ,
who are nowhere near what the true God and the true Christ are. So join me, watch these videos. If you like what you see, there's more to be had. I'm here seeking the truth right along with you. And again, it's much better and much greater than anything we were ever told.
Yeah, so there's that. When the thing officially launches and I get a few videos in there, gonna take clips, you know, from past videos and put it on there. It's gonna be snappy, snappy, snappy. So God has a problem, if I can say this, and I can. God's problem is he really does, and you need to know this. God definitely wants us to know when things are going to happen. He wants us to know when Christ is going to return. He wants us to know, we members of the body of Christ, wants us to know when the snatching away will occur. He does. And folks, we are on the right track as far as counting the years from Adam. After 6,000 years has elapsed, and I've talked about this before, why the 6,000 years. Don't really want to go into it now, but I suppose I could. Just briefly, God works in a 6-1 ratio. He created everything in 6 days, and he stopped on the 7th day. These were literal days. Don't let anybody tell you that the days were figures for epochs or a figure for long eons of time. No. There was a morning and an evening. The first day, morning, evening, second day. Literal days. Of course, not many people believe the account of Genesis. This is how the world was created. Hardly anybody believes it. It's too simple or something. I don't know. It's just people don't believe God. God loves it when people believe him. Anyway, he created the earth in 6 days, and then on the 7th day, he didn't rest because God doesn't get tired. The Hebrew says he stopped. Sabbath means stopping, not rest. So there was a day of stopping, 6-1. We get a big clue from the book of Peter. I think it's 2 Peter. Could be 1 Peter. Read both letters of Peter, you'll find it. 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years to God. So, another clue, Paul says in the book of Hebrews that there's a Sabbath stopping. There's a Sabbath day, quote unquote, remaining for the people of God. Remaining. He wrote that after the coming of Christ, when the temple was destroyed, and they couldn't even worship God in the temple. What's this Sabbath rest that's remaining? It's the 1,000 years of peace, the millennium. Revelation 5:10, the saints will reign for 1,000 years. So if there's 1,000 years of stopping, correspond that to the creation, 6 days of creation, 1 day of stopping. If the 1 day of stopping in the future is 1,000 years, because a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day, then there's 6,000 years of humanity's working, 6,000 years of man on the great stage of life before Christ returns to establish the 1,000 years. This is all true. We are on it. And we are, like, give or take a year or two, we are in the year 5993. I mean, we're 7 years away, I believe, from the return of Christ, which means that the tribulation would start this fall. This is assuming that the 2,000 years from Christ begins at the death and resurrection of our Lord, which does make sense. I always knew that was an outside possibility. I thought it could be from the time of the beginning of his public ministry, 3.5 years earlier. Looks like that's not the case. But anyway, God wants us to know. But you see, here's the thing. It's the whole crux of my talk today. He can't say it obviously. He can't say it plainly, because then everybody would know. See, that's a problem. So God can't say, oh, by the way, on October 23rd, 2023, the tribulation is going to begin. See, he would love to say that. He wants to say that. And he wants to say that when you see Donald Trump re-elected, this man is going to become the man of lawlessness. You can't put that name in the scriptures. See, he would love to, but the problem he has is that he only wants his most intimate friends to know these things, to know these times and these seasons. And so what does he do? He has to be cagey, has to be a little tricky. He has to hide it in puzzles and riddles, and he makes you add up years, and he's doing that. And just when you get tempted to be upset at him, say, God, why are you making it so hard? You got to hear God on the other side of it going, I'm doing this for you. I don't want the whole world to know this. If the whole world knew it, then everybody would be on the boat. Everybody would be on the bandwagon. I don't want it that way. I want you people to be special. I want you to have to look, to have to search. And only those who love me will go out of their way to find out. But that's how I know it's there, because God reveals his secrets to his friends. And for instance, the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, also known as the book of Revelation. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal himself. He reveals himself through Christ, but he also wants to reveal to us the times and the seasons. He does. And he has. But again, you have to. I get so frustrated when I read like Matthew 24, when the disciples say, what will be the signs of the coming of the Son of Man? What will be the signs of your return? And Jesus gives all kinds of cagey language. He hides it in parables and everything. He's like, why are you being so tricky? He has to. Because if he said everything on the nose, if he gave years and names, then not only would the whole world know it, but those who are recalcitrant, the recalcitrant types would try to keep it from happening. Oh, so you say DJT is going to be the man of lawlessness. Now, well, I'm going to screw up God's entire plan, and I'm going to, not make that happen. But God wants it to happen. And even Christians will be complicit in the rise of the man of lawlessness because they're Christians. Christianity is the world's most popular religion. Christianity is totally surface. They're metaphorical, if not literal, descendants of Israel who, for a king, wanted Saul because he was head and shoulders above the rest. He was a good-looking man, always judging by the flesh, by the flesh, by the flesh. And Christianity actually thinks that they are going to revive some great movement. They are going to become super Christians. This nation is going to become a nation that actually lives by the motto on the dollar bill, "In God We Trust," which is a complete joke. No. They trust in the dollar. They do not trust in God. It's a sham. But they don't think it's a sham. They think the whole nation does trust in God. Or let's just say that they want the whole nation to trust in God. And so you're going to see a big move in Christianity to make this world a wonderful place. And they're going to do it under the headship of the man of lawlessness, otherwise known as the Antichrist. And it just startles me when people think that the rotting bag of oatmeal in the Oval Office right now, they think that he's actually going to successfully... You see that truck behind me right there? It's all jacked up. It's all fancy. It's got some fancy crap on it. This guy is outside of it, polishing it. He's like, he's taking a chamois and just caressing it. He is absolutely in love with his truck. You can hear the music in the background, I think. And I went past it and I thought, why don't you and that truck just get a room? Just get a room, man. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Use this world, but don't use it up. That man's definitely in love with his truck. Anyway, I thought I'd take this opportunity on my run. I come up with a lot of ideas on my run. Most people, they don't think of nothing. No, they're children of the eon. They're probably going to help that guy chamois his pet. I don't know. Yeah, but I think of stuff. Oh, by the way, here's the beach in case you're interested. There's no such thing as paradise on this planet, by the way, just so you know. We're in the perfect storm politically. It's the perfect storm. This is supplemental material for the video you are watching. Oh, look at that. Looks like some storm clouds coming. That'd be kind of awesome. Politically, the perfect storm. The current occupant of the Oval Office, the rotting bag of oatmeal, most people understand that he is corrupt through and through. He has sold. He sold his office when he was VP under the first black president. And he got millions of dollars from adversarial countries through the agency of his son, who was put in positions in these adversarial countries for which he had no right, but it was only to funnel money from the country to the running bag of oatmeal. And the guy's been doing this ever since he was began his life in politics, which was a long time ago. He was just a baby bag of oatmeal then, fresh from the oat field, but now he's a rotting bag of oatmeal. But the thing is, these people are so arrogant. These people on that side of the political spectrum, they're so arrogant. They feel so entitled, and they're so protected by the powers that be, because the institutional powers that be, that are supposed to be the law enforcers of the country, they're corrupted as well. They have a political agenda to push. So they left evidence all over the place, and now finally that evidence is being picked up. This wouldn't matter, because the news media wishes to hide any negative news about the rotting bag of oatmeal. He's not running anything. Can a rotting bag of oatmeal run anything? No. He's being run by others. But anyway, but now you see, this dude decided that he wants to re-up the job for another 4 years. And the powers that be don't want him to, because he sucks royally. He doesn't even know where he is half the time. He can't talk anymore. You gotta feel sorry for the guy. His wife is cruel bitch. A cruel bitch. She just cares about money and power, apparently. She doesn't give a crap about him, just throwing him out there, using him. Everybody's using the poor old man. You don't know what the hell's going on. Anyway, so they're ready to throw him overboard. So now they're gonna start reporting on this man's corruption, and the public at large is going to find out about it. This at the same time that all these policies that have come through this guy, all these policies are so bad. I mean, I'm not even going to mention them, but you know what they are. Did you ever in your wildest imagination think that there would come a time where there would be a political philosophy and a battle cry for defunding the law enforcement agencies so that more crimes can happen? Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that we'd be seeing that? But anyway, you know, things have to get bad enough so that people will look at the orange guy and say, please come back, please, we love you, we don't care about the mean tweets. We'd rather see a mean tweet than a mushroom cloud. Sorry about the wind interference, I don't have my microphone, I don't know which way to turn, I can't hear myself, so you just have to put up with it for a couple more minutes. I'm almost done. So it's the perfect storm. While this running bag of oatmeal's corruption is being exposed, the orange guy, who is the most law-abiding, the cleanest, the most Boy Scout politician there has ever been, he's looking pretty good right now. He's looking pretty good. Really good. And so the tide is turning. And anybody who says that the rotting bag of oatmeal is going to win again, thank God. It's true that the people for the orange guy, they're going to have to figure out how to get the, I can't even say the word, the E word, E-L-E-C-T-I-O-N. They're going to figure out, they have to figure out how to play kind of dirty like the other side does. And I think they will, and I think they are. So once that happens, any kind of malfeasance will be neutralized, and the people will speak, and it'll be the beginning of the beast. Because again, the beast is not going to be an obvious thing. It's going to be subtle. It's going to be righteous. It's going to have the facade, the sheen of righteousness, but it'll be lawlessness. It doesn't mean that the guy himself is lawless. He will be. He will be. Remember, the orange guy or whoever the Antichrist is will not become that until the so-called death blow. And the man revives from that. And then it's like, it's no longer that person, but the powers of darkness, a literal being, spiritual being called the beast, inhabiting him. Remember, the beast, depends on the context, it's either a literal spiritual being or a system. Do you like my hair? It's like wings here. You see, this is like airfoils, like spoilers. And it helps me cut through the air. I kind of lift a little bit, because this is an airfoil here. And I get some lift as the air moves over the top. It creates less pressure, and the pressure at the bottom then kind of lifts me. So as I run, I kind of float like an inch off the ground because of this. Hey, you know, that's a great gig if you can get it. But I will say this, it is better to be depressed and warm than depressed and cold. I'm lifting off. That's just a joke. Not gonna happen. So, we know that from the book of Revelation, things that are gonna happen swiftly. And I believe that once the day of indignation starts, and even up to that day, it's gonna go swiftly, swiftly, swiftly. And I remind you, once again, the sign of September 23rd, 2017 was real. And it was a signpost. It's like the sign outside our city. It says 20 miles to Fort Lauderdale. When you see that sign, are you in Fort Lauderdale? No, you're still 20 miles away. The sign on September 23rd, 2017, the constellation written of by John in Revelation chapter 12, that was real. And we are presently 6 years from that sign. But I don't know if you've noticed this, but since that time, things on the world stage, politically, technologically, have just gone absolutely wild. We are living in singular days. And if God didn't shorten these days, no one would survive. But He will shorten the days. And as the days get shortened, things are going to happen faster and faster and faster. So, I don't blame you if you don't watch the news. I keep up with it just because I believe that we're in the days prophesied by Christ in Matthew 24, by Daniel in Daniel chapter 7. The beast is coming. It's going to be, I remind you, a religious entity, and it will have all the support of the Christian religion, and its head will be a strong leader from the West who will coalesce the Christian world, make a pact with Israel. In fact, that's the first thing the man of lawlessness does. And I believe that we will be snatched away at this point. There will be a treaty with Israel, specifically, that will give them safety, and they will be able to freely pursue their worship practices. The false temple will arise. And I remind you, this temple doesn't need to be a magnificent structure like the Solomonic temple or even Herod's temple. It doesn't need to be anything more than a pole barn or a shed. as long as the sacrifices are going on, that's what counts. And I remind you, Israel traveled in the wilderness for many years in a freaking tent. So the main lesson today is that God desperately wants us to know what he's doing. And so for those who are paying attention, for those who have put together the years from Adam, for those who noticed the sign of September 23rd, these are all things. And yeah, the Christians found, a lot of Christian organizations found that sign. They were aware of the Revelation 12 sign on September 23rd, 2017. But as always, Christians misappropriate everything. They thought that was the snatching. They thought that was going to be the rapture. Of course, they believe that Christ is going to return and take the saints to be with him. But they think they're the saints, but they're not, as you know, because they are self-righteous, gaggle of self-righteousness. Yes, that's two self-righteousnesses in one sentence. And I meant that. So, they are not the people. It's sad, really. I feel bad for them. I really do, but we're God's intimates. We understand the purpose of the eons. We understand his heart. We understand his sovereignty. We understand that the standard operating procedure of God is to do the greatest things with the fewest people. We are few, but we are a people, and we are the apple of God's eye, and he doesn't make any moves without he tells his friends.